This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? It's Wednesday. It's the 18th of April. I gotta say that because you know what? It just occurred to me. Like, we come in here and do the show every day, and then people might listen to the podcast weeks and weeks later, and they're like, what date is this goddamn podcast? And if they don't have their screen in front of them, maybe they're just driving around. You know, you need to know. People have got to know.
Good point.
Right?
Okay.
And you don't know whether you're up to date or not, and you start getting all frustrated. It's annoying. I've heard this with other podcasts. It gets me crazy.
I just realized we have the power to be spreading fake news, because what if someone is listening to this 50 years from now?
Oh, yeah.
We could, you know, paint
We could give them a totally biased opinion. I think that's what we do.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Been for the last few years?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
That's what we've been doing for 4 years.
Sure.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I see Barbara Bush died. You know, George W.'s mother and George H.W. Bush's wife. She was the first lady in the 90s. Late 80s, early 90s, when her husband was president.
She must have been about 97.
She was 92.
Close.
Yeah, she was 92 years old. And Barbara Bush.
Yeah, what did you have to?
Barbara Bush. She's gone.
Man.
Yeah.
But good.
She was some kind of powerhouse, yeah. Look, she was. I mean, I think there's only ever been one other person, Abigail Adams, who was the mother and the wife of a president.
Mother and the... Oh. Yeah, who was she the wife and the mother
she
of?
She was the wife of John Adams, the second president of the United States, and the mother of John Quincy Adams, fifth president of the United States. And Barbara, I hate that name.
Wow.
Barbara Bush.
I instantly have a picture of what a Barbara looks like.
Yes,
it's
sure.
Not someone young and full of energy.
No.
Or black. It's just
no.
A white old woman.
Yeah, right. And she had the white hair and...
Mm.
I mean, look, she was a grandma, you know? And she looked like a grandma when she was first lady as well. And you compare her to, like, the Michelle Obamas and the Melania Trumps, and it's a whole different world.
Different era as
totally,
well.
Totally different era. She used to, like, read to kids and that kind of thing, and that was her thing. And she literacy was her big issue when she was first lady. You know, each of the first ladies have a thing. Michelle Obama had the nutrition,
children's childhood nutrition. Obesity.
Yeah, as a big thing. Melania's is to allow more Russian brides into America.
Wow. Well, or perhaps everybody has online bullying.
Stick to your strengths.
Oh, is it online bullying?
The irony?
But then her husband's the biggest online bully in the whole
irony
world.
The irony of it all.
Really?
She comes from a place of knowledge.
That's why
I know what it is like to be punished by husband and bully every day.
But Barbara Bush used to read to kids because that's what used to happen. Kids don't read anymore.
Do you know that her middle name was Billingsburg's Bush?
No, you're lying. You are lying. Lies you tell.
Let's just calm that down as well. Just putting it out there.
Barbara Billingsburg's Bush. Don't you know that?
She was in her 70s as first lady. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's some age to get into the White House.
And I wonder if the Adams lady you were speaking of was alive to see her son.
Yeah, she was.
That's cool, because I think that must mean a lot to a mother as well.
Yeah, look.
You really care about the country and.
It's quite cool for any parents to see their kids do well and to succeed in life. And there's not much more than you could do well at than being president of the United States. It's a big deal. You know, you have to be a pretty smart human being to get to be president of the United States. Even if, in retrospect, I love the way everybody's like, Obama wasn't such a great president and Clinton wasn't such a great president, and Bush was so stupid. How did he begin? You don't get to be president if you're dumb. Like, those people are already smarter than 90% of us. Even if they're bad president, they're still smarter than 90% of us. Do you know how many strings you have to be pulling? How many people you have to see? How many places you have to go? How much you have to know what to say when? Wow. To become a president, that's a big deal. I'm telling you now, in an IQ test, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush. Okay, maybe not Bush. No.
He's the exception to the rule.
No, I'm being facetious because we like to tease him. But Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and even Donald Trump, they wipe the floor with you. Everybody thinks they're so clever. We should do an IQ test.
Yeah, please. I've never done that before.
Let's get an expert in here and That'd do an IQ test. And then we compare ourselves with, like, George W. Bush. And if he's cleverer than us, you got to shut up when it comes to, like, criticizing people, because he behaves like an idiot, says stupid things. But he's I'm telling you, he's not stupid. You don't get to be president if you're dumb.
Mm.
Our president, a former president, you could say what you like. That man's got street smarts. He could walk circles around you. You wouldn't even know what was going on.
Well, he literally walked circles around this entire country.
Right. He walked circles around a lot of people.
Don't think you're clever. I hear people saying, President Jacob Zuma, what an idiot. Like, really? You in your office job?
Uh-oh, here we go.
With your ordinary pay... No. I'm not being nasty, but you're in an office job. You've got an ordinary paycheck. You have 2.5 children, and you drive a Volvo, and you're going to tell me that Jacob Gedleleki Zuma, who's got billions tucked away in some bank somewhere, which we'll never find, that he's got, I don't know, 200 children, he's got whatever he wants, he's got this lovely house in Kandla that we paid for. He's smarter than all of us. Don't give me that.
But also, you know, a lot of us base our judgments and opinions according to how we feel about said president.
Sure,
like, if you never liked the idea of an Obama to begin with,
right,
then you're only going to focus on the bad decisions that he made, and therefore you will deduce that he was a terrible president. If you don't like a Donald Trump, you're going to do the same.
Yeah,
but also, the one thing I've never heard about Obama is anyone. No one's had the temerity, the brazenness to stand up and say he was dumb. That he was not.
Well,
no matter how much you can say horrible things about
someone.
Yeah,
they've called him a Mac Daddy.
Yeah, no one's ever had the temerity to say, Obama was stupid, because they know this guy's not an idiot. Right? The number of things that he did during his entire presidency, we're talking 8 years of presidency, the number of stupid things he said, I don't think you can even count on one hand. That's a smart man. You were going to say?
Sorry, just going back to, like, what is really smart. Like, if you say, well, the richest person on earth must be the smartest, then George Bezos is the smartest. Like, how do you quantify what
Jeff
smart
Bezos.
Really is? Jeff.
You dummy.
See, I'm not as rich as Jeff, nor as smart.
No.
Who's George Bezos then?
George Bezos was
Mandela's lawyer.
The lawyer.
Yeah.
And Jeff, Amazon.
Yeah,
yes.
Amazon. Nailed it.
No, you didn't really put a...
But I see what you mean.
Yeah, it all depends on, like, how you listen to the podcast. It's just that line. I wouldn't.
You don't just you don't just measure people by how much money they have or how much they've stolen. Obviously,
if you're calling Jacob Zuma stupid, what makes you smart in your idea? Because you know geography, you know, like, science. Like, what is smart? Like, if we're all looking to make money in this world, clearly the richest man is the smartest man.
Yeah,
because that's how we quantify our existence.
But the richest man might not know the first thing about, you know, DNA.
Yeah, but he has money. And we all seek to get money. That's why we wake up in the morning.
Yes.
I don't wake up in the morning so I can look at a tree. I like to, but it's not my purpose.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm. Also, our lifestyles force us to wake up in the morning to make money. I mean,
so it would be seen as almost the one thing that drives us all is to go make money.
Yeah, well, that, yes.
In which case, if that's your hierarchy, then yes, I suppose someone like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or, you know, any of those rich dudes, they're the winners.
Yeah, or if your purpose is to seek power like politicians, then Donald Trump's the smartest man in the world. Vladimir Putin's the smartest man in the world.
Yeah, if that's what you're after. Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
In fact, Kim smart Jong-un, you could say, like, that's three generations of super smartness.
Well...
Listen, this Chinese president, he wants to change everything so he can be president for life. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
Ah, nothing new here.
what is that, you know how cool it must be to be an ex-president? I always want to say to these guys, look at how great life is for an ex-president. You don't have to do anything. You're not worried about money. You're not worried about reputation. You're not worried about being... I mean, who, after you've been president of a country, cares about being in the public eye? You don't want fame and irrelevance and notoriety. What you want, if you've been president, you get on the speaking circuit, you go around and meet people. You still have all the privileges of being president. I mean, Kgalema Motlanthe still drives around in a Blue Light Brigade and gets called President Motlanthe, even though he was president for, like, what, 3-4 months? I mean, that's a great gig. If you can get that, that's the best gig. Don't you think? I always want to say to these guys, like, President Jinping or whatever his name is in China.
Just stop. Stop. Chill. Yeah, sit. Just,
why do you want to keep on doing this?
Guys, it's a bit like drugs, though.
You think?
Because if you love being on drugs, you love it. You're not going to stop because you want to stay on drugs. It's like when you become president, you can go, yeah, I can quit. Sure. But then I'm not at my absolute best. So this guy is no different than a crack addict. He just, that power is his crack.
Mm.
And he can't sit back and watch someone else do it because he has to be the guy on crack.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Also, we don't know what being in such a powerful position does to people.
Tia does. He wakes up every morning and thinks he's president.
Well,
you know, they get into that position and suddenly they get treated like the most important person in that country, and that's because they are considered the most important person in that country. That must done all kinds of things to your ego.
Sorry, I thought you were all about ebonics. That must done do a lot.
That must done gone a lot for your personal information.
After 7 o'clock, not right now.
Yeah, well, it's just basically go host a house party, take crack, and that's what being a president is like.
Yeah. But I think to a certain extent, there's a trait in what, for example, these former presidents that we've brought up have, that successful businessmen who stay in leadership positions for years, or singers who even in their 60s are trying to be a size zero and still look hot, have, and that is feeling pressure in your position. You're a slave to that.
But you have to be able to move on. Yeah. And by moving on, that doesn't always mean you have to keep moving up. Like, some of the time it makes a massive difference to your stress levels, your health. I mean, Obama, think of what a great life Barack Obama has right now.
Mm.
He will go down in history for being the first black president of the United States. He'll go down in history for having been, in my opinion, a very good president of the United States. He's got a great legacy. His work is done. That guy should go and chill on yachts with billionaires. He should get other people to pay for his holidays. He should have fun. He should, you know, spend time with his daughters and his wife. Huh? Don't you think that's great? And if he really feels he needs to add to the legacy, he can work on the Barack Obama library, which all presidents, you know, all the presidents have their own presidential library when they quit.
Do you know, he also actually did young. It at a good age.
He's young, right? Mm. He's got vitality. He's got a life ahead of him. Wouldn't you like to be in that position? That's got to be the best. And even if he's not as rich as Jeff Bezos, I reckon, you invite me to listen to Jeff Bezos speak, or you invite me to speak to listen to Barack Obama speak, guess who I'm going to go and listen to?
Obama every time.
Yeah.
Oh, but
unless the goodie bag's better with Bezos.
If you could invite someone to your house, would you rather invite Amazon CEO or the former president of the United States? It's not even a contest.
Barack, he's a golfer.
Oh, well, you see.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, Mubs, you're the same, right?
Yeah, I'd invite Barack, but there are plenty of people who would invite Jeff, guys.
Sure.
There are plenty of people who would think...
But they are douchebags. We're not talking...
Wow.
But isn't Jeff one of those guys who's like so into himself, like he only wears black and he just has like tight shirts on?
I actually don't know much about that man.
No.
I have a point I shall raise at a different time. So people who
what
wear happened? Black
what are you on about?
Themselves,
what,
but okay, sure.
Oh, Sia wears
are you
black.
Trying to
all
make
the
about
time?
Yourself again.
Ah.
Oh my God. Okay, I gotta go somewhere I haven't done for a long time.
Ooh.
Yes, sex life stories. Nice.
No, I ate a packet of dried fruit on Monday. Jesus, I have been farting like a trooper the whole day yesterday.
I thought they were a bit too sour, those
things. I was
things.
Wandering around the house. It was like I was just creating huge quantities of wind. I was a fart machine yesterday. You have no idea. Thank God I live alone. It was like chemical weapons. I ate this bag on Monday. Ben, you had one or two, didn't you?
Yeah, they were very sour, though.
I had a bag of dried apricots, my favorite dried fruit. I don't eat them often, but I find that they, you know, they sort out the water salt balance, and I like them. It's a good snack for me. Obviously, people say, oh, well, there's a lot of sugar in these dried fruits. Sure. There's a lot of sugar in fruit. I'm not going to avoid fruit. I don't have to. And I eat this packet, but I didn't think about it at all, or the consequences.
Oh,
man, it was like a brass band moved into my house.
May I just
the
say...
The sounds I made, the rooms that I had to evacuate.
Was that so bad that you could like taste it in your mouth?
Oh,
you know,
God.
One of those bad smells.
I actually thought, after a while, I was like, I have got to change my pants because just having these poor pants being subjected to this endless torrent of anal wind is just such an unkindness.
And while this is happening, like, wow, Carl, you're sleeping a lot at the moment. Must be enjoying winter.
He passed out. I think he couldn't handle it anymore. Bad, huh?
Yeah, very bad.
Never had one of those days?
Oh, yes. Oh. No, I've had days where I just, after dropping bombs, I just think to myself, is there something rotting in your stomach? Please do.
I need to go and have my whole stomach cleaned up.
Please do better. Please.
But days like that remind you what an animal you are, right?
Yeah, completely.
Because we all think we're such evolved, fantastic creatures. Just imagine. Our brains and making choices and life decisions.
Actually, like you have a 9-to-5 at a desk, which you're kind of at the whole time, and you have these like trumpet pants.
Oh, well, you'd just have to take one or two really good shits. You'd have to.
But what if you can't? You don't always have the option.
Clear that passage out.
But the worst farts are those ones where you're not sure if you need to take a dump or if it's just going to be gas.
Yeah. Some days it's just all thunder.
And it could be
lightning.
And it could be wet as well, right?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, Sia's very uncomfortable about this conversation, but it's true, Sia. This is what people go through.
This is why you wear black,
I do not discuss such. So, in
but like,
case.
What if you work at a checkout of like a supermarket? Well, you can't just get up and say, "I'm taking 5 minutes."
No, there's no way.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
I was thinking about that actually, because I was. I just opened the windows.
These are the thoughts you have.
Well, you know, life is not just about those highs. Is that where you on your best performance and everybody can see how clever you are and how much you've done and you're looking after other people and you're doing good things and all that stuff. Life is also about those scratch the itch reptilian brain farting days.
Balance.
What do you find puts you in that place, Mubs, Ben? Since see, I won't talk about this. What kind of food takes you there?
Yeah, look, some red meats.
Yeah. Also, if I've overdone it on the alcoholic beverages,
really?
There's a there's a certain pungent smell. No, if I've overdone it, I mean, if I had a glass here and there, that I'd be fine. But if I was having bottles left, right, and center, then eventually my body's like, nope.
Okay, switch it on. Yeah. All right. I find obviously cauliflower is a major constituent part of any like wind. Eggs.
I never got that.
Eggs.
Eggs don't do anything to me. I'm just.
But see, you weigh 23 kilograms. I reckon an egg. It's all your body just grabs hold
it's
of every
sustenance
nutrient.
I
yeah, it's
need.
Like, oh fuck, guys, grab these eggs because when next he opens that little mouth of his, he's going to swallow chocolate only, and we can't use that. So your body goes into high alert when you take in an egg. They're like, we've got to use every single piece of this. We don't know when the next one's coming. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen what this guy eats for meals.
Mm.
Sometimes he'll have a packet of Oreos for breakfast. Yeah. Must be nice, Sia. Mm. Must be nice.
Those are good times.
So, we've just got a couple of minutes here before we get to the five things you need to know. My dad went cold turkey and quit smoking.
Ooh.
He did it, and he's been going 3.5 weeks now, hasn't picked up a cigarette. Whew. I mean, I haven't seen it, and he's told me he hasn't, and he's the kind of guy who wouldn't bullshit me about that.
Mm.
I've heard very mixed reports. I actually had this conversation with him. I said to him, look, you might not want to go cold turkey because your body goes into shock. It's like it's been having cigarette after cigarette after cigarette since he was 16.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's in his 60s now. You stop suddenly, your body goes, whoa, where's that hit? But it's already having very positive effects on him.
Like?
He looks healthier.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What made him decide to quit?
I don't know. He just decided. You know, my dad's like that. He's... I get a feeling like Mabali's dad's the same. These kind of stubborn guys who just decide, I'm going to do this, and then they do it. And they make it happen. And he's just unstoppable when he's like that. I wish I had a bit of that in me. Because he's
Whoa.
Yeah, he's just decided to go completely cold turkey. My mother's still smoking. My sister's still smoking.
Isn't that tough then?
Yeah, of course it is. He says, the weirdest thing is, it's not so much the nicotine or the need for a cigarette. It's the habit. It's that you do this every day. It's almost like you've lost a friend.
Give him a fidget spinner. Just something to occupy his hands.
How millennial of you.
Thing.
Can you imagine what my dad, if I gave him a fidget spinner, wouldn't know what the hell to do with it.
Well, he'd probably just throw it in your face.
Yeah, he would. But he just went cold turkey, huh?
Wow.
No.
It's like 50 odd years of doing this, and he just decides to not.
He just decided I'm not doing it anymore. I don't know if that's good or not.
How long did you say he's quit now? 3 weeks?
3.5 weeks.
Well, they do say what to kick a habit you need 21 days.
So he's almost there.
Over it if it's 3.5 weeks.
That's true. 14, 21, yeah.
Oh, maths is not.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Mubs was good at maths yesterday. You
I
still
was
have
excellent,
that?
Excellent, yeah.
You were so good yesterday. Please do it again.
You counted how many
weeks
years we've been
How many weeks
since
to get to 21 days, okay. Mubs?
So 7 days in a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
7, 14, 21, and a half. He's probably at about 25 days now.
Wow.
I mean.
Look at you.
Got the right answer.
You've become our maths whiz.
Jeez, Einstein who?
And I want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, there was no calculator in front of her at the time. She did this mental arithmetic.
Yeah. Not even working out on a piece of paper.
Mm-mm. Who needs that?
Shucks, that's amazing.
Look at her. She's just glowing with the brilliance that we don't have, Sia.
You know what? Sometimes modesty is just not... It's not...
Not worth it.
No, it's not. No. You must own your abilities.
And this is yours. All right, the five things we need... this is another ability of yours.
Do you know, can I just quickly slide it in as a proper disclaimer?
Yeah.
Some people think, and I have encounters of people who listen to the show, and they think we're joking about this whole maths thing
and us
counting. No. Really, it's bad. And I have to hold myself sometimes in interviews, and you're very engaged and in-depth and serious.
Oh, when someone asks you a maths question, I get into a flat panic.
Oh, yeah.
23 divided by 4 minus 6 plus 2. I don't know.
And you'll reference something so historically massive or scientifically accurate. You go, yes, they discovered this in 1975.
And like 8 plus 4,
and that's how many years ago?
1, 2. Oh.
They're really weird bad. Anyway. Right.
According to Dr. Jonathan Witt, he's just let me know.
Mm-hmm.
He's full of information this morning. Thank goodness for him. The physiological addiction to cigarettes has gone after 48 hours. It's the psychological addiction which takes longer to overcome. There we go, smokers. You can beat this. 48 hours and you can beat the physiological addiction. Isn't that great?
After 48 hours?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Right, 2 days. So that's impressive. Get on with it. Give up smoking. No one needs to smoke. I think that this is a horrible habit.
It's just bad all around.
Hmm. Yeah, and there are a lot of people who do. You know what the worst is while we're on this?
Mm-hmm.
Cigars. That smell is disgusting. Unless you're the guy smoking the cigar, it is a revolting smell. There was a dude at a party I was at who lit up a cigar. And this thing stank to high heaven.
Oh.
It made the whole room smell. It actually almost made me gag. It was such a horrible smell. And he was puffing away like Fidel Castro on this thing.
I still would like to try one.
Go ahead. Don't do it in a room with me.
Oh.
But go ahead. It's nothing. I don't like cigars. I don't like them. Let's get on with it. The five things you need to know today.
Okay, I mean, well, if you want to take it there, then let's take it there.
No, I just thought we haven't had a breaking news on the show for a while.
Okay, so who are the better drivers, men or women? It's obviously women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, no, I mean, when you're talking specifically about driving safely, then it's definitely women. And this is according to the latest Easter Road safety figures, which were released yesterday. Compared to 2017, there was a 14% increase in road deaths over this past Easter period for us.
Mm-hmm.
510 people losing their lives on South African roads between the 29th of March and the 9th of April. And a gender breakdown of contributing factors related to human behavior shows that male drivers accounted for 71% of road fatalities.
Wow.
And women for just 24%. And this is despite the fact that women drivers over the last decade has increased significantly.
All right. Let's think about why. I'm curious about how this happens, because 71% of accidents are men.
Mm.
That's hugely disproportionate. If we're 50-50 and we know there are actually more women in the country than there are men, right? Women outnumber men slightly in South Africa. That's what the census has told us. But how can we be responsible for 71% of accidents? We have got to be really bloody stupid. No, there's got to be something going on here. Is it evolutionary psychology? Is it about how men aren't as observant? Maybe men aren't as worried about dying. What is it?
Men take risks. Take a lot more risks.
They do take risks. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a number of factors contributing to this. You know, men are also more aggressive, typically. So, you know, those douchebag drivers on the road that want to push you off the road because they think they're so tough.
Yeah, completely. I think there's always an element of ego that goes into it. When you add that to speed and impatience, then yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, I don't know. I just think that's embarrassing.
Well, I mean, look, if you're still alive to talk about it, Gareth, then you are better off than, you know, those who are not.
I made it! If you're a man and you've driven in a car and you're still alive, give yourself a pat on the back right now. Not while you're driving.
Now, just to remind us of how rules differ in different parts of the world, Tanzania briefly detained two of their musicians, including one of the country's most popular singers, and their crime was that they posted video clips which were deemed obscene by the authorities, and this is all part of the latest crackdown on social media users. Tanzania has become more socially conservative since the election of their president, John Magufuli, in late 2015. And one of the singers basically shared a video of himself kissing a woman. He was detained.
What?
Yes.
You get arrested for kissing a woman in Tanzania?
Well, look, as I say, it's part of their latest crackdown on social media users. And they basically just want people to be more conservative on these platforms. The two singers in question were released on bail shortly after their arrest. But yes, they did. You know, they did get taken in by the authorities.
Jeez.
So while that is happening in Tanzania, in Russia, they have blocked access to the app Telegram that we've all been raving about for refusing to give their security services access to private conversations.
I love Telegram even
wow.
more. Even more now. Now I want to support Telegram even more. If the Russian security agencies aren't going to be let in, then we know they're not letting anyone in. Great.
There were also 10 activists who were arrested after demonstrating outside the security agency's headquarters against this move. And then they just decided, you know what? We will have none of this nonsense from you. We're taking you guys in.
Okay.
Jeez, what is happening in different parts of the world?
I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of backsliding in places like Russia and Tanzania. Mm. Right?
Mm. Mm.
People are going backwards. They're not going forwards. We keep talking about how we're advancing as a species, and we're not. In some places, we really are stuck. And it's got to be embarrassing for, like, the president of... What did you say his name was? John...
Magulufi.
That's right.
He's going to also look to be a lifetime president. This is how it starts.
Him and the... Is it
Jinping.
Him and the president of Uganda should get together.
Yes, Yoweri Museveni, who said that he knows the address of sex.
Yeah.
And that your mouth is for eating.
There's only one address for sex, and you don't need Google Maps for it.
No. So,
and then we saw what his wife looked like, and we're like,
oh, okay, all right. and then just lastly, listen, organic is pretty much the way to go these days, right?
Sure.
Organic chicken, organic vegetables, organic everything.
Definitely organic chicken.
And Ziggy Marley is calling for organic marijuana because why not, Sia? Because yeah, why not? Okay. Okay.
Well, they make a lot of the synthetic stuff, right?
So he's calling on a ban. Or rather for a ban on pesticides in pot farming. And he's urging other cannabis users to grow their own until they can be sure that the product they buy is organic. Yes, Ziggy. The 49-year-old musician is, of course, the son of the late reggae star Bob Marley, you know, who himself smoked cannabis as part of the Rastafari religious beliefs. And he is campaigning for regulation of the cannabis farming industry to ensure that the weed he inhales is organic.
Mm. Jam it with you. We're jamming. Yeah, I think if you grow naturally, if you grow weed naturally, it's probably better than stuff that's grown by scientists. I mean, who knows? Maybe the scientists will say to you, no, we can optimize it. You leave it outside, let it grow naturally. Pests are going to get to it. Might not get optimal water, sunlight, nutrition. If I grow it in my greenhouse, I can do a really good job. We can grow some super, super THC-filled weed.
Oh, THC.
Isn't that it? Yeah, that's the stuff.
Well, that's the active ingredient.
That's the active ingredient. That's the...
What does it stand for?
Don't ask me.
Oh, I would try... tetrahydrocannabinol.
Tetrahydrocannabinol.
That's it.
All right, you did fine.
You did fine. But that's THC. That is the active ingredient in. So what you want to have really good weed is you want optimal THC. You want as much of that in the heads as possible. That's what one of my friends who grows weed tells me. Mm. And she said she can grow better weed in indoors in a closed circumstance than she can outside if she lets it grow in the garden.
Whoa.
Okay.
And then, of course, she told me this whole thing about the difference between the indica and the sativa, and I can never remember which one is the one that makes you feel sleepy and which one's the one lifts you up, but there we go. That's what we got.
Mm.
All right, Mubs, is that it?
That's it for now, Gareth. After 7, we'll talk about the story of a woman almost being sucked out of an aeroplane in America.
If it what is through the toilet.
Is it United Airlines?
It is my worst fear come to life.
Imagine being sucked through the toilet.
Oh my gosh.
No, Ben, it's not United this
Do you get
time
a fright when you flush the loo on a plane?
It scares everything out of me. I always just think, and this is how I'm going to die. And
being sucked out of the toilet.
They will have to share my story everywhere.
You just keep the weight in the balls of your feet so you're ready. We must all be aware of these things, yeah?
Ben,
is a fight, people.
Ben is preparing every day for Armageddon. He really is. And we should take a leaf out of his book.
Get a good definition in your quads by going like that.
Here are a few comments. More men drive than women. I think that's probably true.
Well, especially in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Women are mainly passengers. That sounds almost sexist. It's because more men drive BMWs, says someone else. And a lot of people using Telegram, I've got to say, this morning. Sam says, driving. Men will drink and drive. They will want to speed past the next car when the robot changes. Yeah, that's also, it's that risk-taking that Ben was talking about, right? And then someone about the smoking. My father's girlfriend... Oh, no, no. That's a different comment. My father's girlfriend's name is Barbara. She is not what we would call attractive.
Oh.
Yeah, I see. Because Barbara Bush died. So people are talking about the name Barbara. I gave up smoking cigarettes 2 years ago, but will never give up smoking blunts. Fuck that shit, says somebody. Someone else says that... I don't mean to be a pain. Is there any chance of a comment section on the app?
Oof. Yeah, you're currently in it.
Yeah, it's called the show. And you know what? Keep your comments to yourself. you've got enough places to comment. You've got all these social media. And frankly, I don't see any genius comments coming up on social media.
Hey, comment sections.
Yeah, they're always a disaster.
They're trash.
Cold turkey is the only way to stop smoking. I'm on 5 years now because you make the conscious choice to do it. The craving never goes away, says somebody. Huh. Especially the habitual cravings, like after a coffee or a nice meal. Some interesting points of view here. This is very good. And about your guys' Monday chat where Gareth mentioned that he liked his friends' kids because they were his friends, that's not always the case. I have one of my very good friends. We've been mates for over 10 years. Been friends long before they even had a child. I fucking hate his kid. He's such a little asshole, but I can never tell him that. Every time I see him, I want to... falcon punch that piece of shit in the throat.
Well, falcon punch.
That's from Ryan.
What is a falcon punch?
I don't know, but it sounds great, right? I love that.
Sounds
such
intense.
Honesty.
Yeah, falcon punch is when you hit someone like really hard, just punch them in the head, not the face.
By the way, anybody seen Caitlyn Jenner's new boyfriend? It's a black dude.
No, I don't know about this. Surprise, surprise.
She's just keeping in line with the script.
Oh, the Kardashians?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
But a few weeks ago, they were saying that she was dating a woman, and she was actually a younger, attractive model.
Like the only white penis you're ever going to see in a Kardashian estate is Caitlyn's.
Somebody says, "Morning, guys. Did you see how cute Caitlyn Jenner is with her new boyfriend? That brother is going to get a revamped, new installed vagina."
I could add on that, but I'll keep the class.
All right, let's get into cryptocurrencies. We're trying to be disciplined about this. Ethereum currently trading at $517.55. Bitcoin is at $8,035.50. And Ripple's at 0.67. Nice climb for that. I see Monero's on the way up. Bitcoin Gold's had a good run. IOTA's up. So you know what? It's a better week in crypto than it has been for most of the year, actually. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport. Take it away, Ben.
Good news for Sundowns fans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are 6 points clear at the top of the PSL right now. And even better, they've only got 3 games to go. Ah. So they can't really cock it up from here, considering that their next match as well, they play Maritzburg United. That's their one tough game to go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're playing, lesser opposition from here. But the big focus for them this week is going to be the Nedbank Cup. So basically, it got to the semi-final stage, exactly the same as the FA Cup. And they will be taking on Maritzburg United on Sunday. Chiefs will be taking on Free State Stars on the Saturday. So that's your big look in depth about your local football. But I think one story that I do want to get into on local football is that Pirates are finally being punished for that horrible field.
I heard about this.
Stormed the field and they were pulling up TV camera cables.
Yeah,
and
so their fans behaved badly. So now they're going to have to do two matches
behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard of a slap on the wrist. But this is a slap on the wrist that misses. So it's kind of like a fake slap.
Mm.
Because, I mean, who's actually really losing here? I mean, the crowds are pretty woeful in the PSL. So what game is going to really affect them when they go behind closed doors? I can't see a big deal here. Are the fans really going to go, oh, this is it, life is over, I can't go to this week's game? No, there's a game next week. There's two matches. One of them is suspended for a period of 24 months, which I also find bizarre. But there's got to be stronger sanctions here. Pirates had to pay for the legal hearing. Wow. Irvin Korza just opened his wallet and said, use my Pick and Pay Smart Shopper. I mean, the guy's got money coming out of every orifice because of what he owns, local football. But there's got to be stiffer penalties for this kind of stuff because it just can't be tolerated. It's as simple as that. In the English football, Spurs, they drew last night with Brighton. Not a good result for them because remember the top four race is still wide open. Well, I say wide open because I know there's like 5 games left. So again, if you're at the top, this is the time to stay there. Like Man United, they're looking solid. But Liverpool are just 1 point behind. Spurs, 2 points behind them now. And then Chelsea, well, they're a little bit further back. So they're on 60 points. As opposed to Spurs on 68, Liverpool 70, Man United 71. So that is your top four battle. But again, focus shifts to the cup competition. FA Cup this weekend. And the big thing for Spurs is that when all these cup competitions go to the final stages, they go to Wembley. Spurs' home ground is Wembley. So you've got to think they have the edge over Man United. It's a game will take place on Saturday. And then Chelsea will be taking on Southampton on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. But there'll be a lot more fixtures going out throughout the week because we need to grattle these things in. So tonight we'll see Bournemouth versus Man United. And, well, we'll get to that in some other time. But Everton, you know, they've got big meat face Sam Allardyce as their coach, manager. Never know which one it is, manager. So the Everton club is actually asking fans to rate him. So Allardyce has come out recently telling the press that they spend far too much time on social media and shouldn't believe all the hype about the fact that people think he's under fire. Well, Everton, the club, kind of disagrees here. They're actually throwing out an actual voting system. So if you're a member of the club on the mailing list or whatever, they'll send you a little thing saying, rate Big Sam, and then you can basically have your say about him. And they're going to get all the feedback from these diehard fans, and maybe he'll be given the arse after that. But let's be honest, Allardyce is basically, he's like a tow truck driver of the managing pool.
Yes.
He comes in with a team who's in a spot of bother. He gets them, he saves them from relegation, then basically moves on to some other bottom feeding role. How he was ever considered for the English job, I have no idea. I think someone just saw him with a man bag and said, look, he's changed. No, not at all. So on to rugby. Now, there's a pretty dodgy story going around, has been going around, kind of under the surface. It's got to do with two rugby players and a rape charge.
Oi.
So,
That doesn't sound good.
Paddy Jackson has been the stand-in for Johnny Sexton and fellow teammate Stuart Alding. Now, there was a night out where the Irish lads, they kind of had a usual kind of night out with some girls, went back to their place, things got a bit out of hand, whatever, things just happen as they do in your 20s. But one girl who didn't want a part of this was kind of rolled in, and well, she told the courts that she was savagely raped by these guys. And I say savagely raped, I'm not saying it's just as a turn of phrase, but the transcripts of the text messages that have been going around amongst the guilty party and the people involved in this night out are public knowledge. I'll put a link out a little bit later, but they are pretty horrible. I mean, if you can consider any kind of like jock frat house behavior, where obviously the winners and losers, the losers obviously being the girls who don't want to be a part of this, it's pretty horrible. The courts have cleared them of rape, but Irish Rugby and Ulster, the clubs, have basically said, you guys can get fecked, because that's what they say in Ireland, you're no longer going to play for these teams. So although Jackson and Alding, 26 and 25 years old, have been cleared of any legal problem or any criminal case, they will never play rugby again for these two teams. So their careers are essentially over in the back of this. It's a horrible story, but at least these the rugby unions and boards are staying together, because you know all the thing. Like the girl who has been raped in the situation here, she said, look, I'm not going to the cops. There's no way they're going to charge rugby players. No. It's the whole thing of like, you know, what are the chances? Then she has to go through the rigmarole of all these interviews, and it's already demeaning enough being the situation. So obviously on the back of maybe, say, a weaker testimony from her side on a legal case, these guys have been cleared, but the rugby unions aren't having any of this. They basically said that this behavior is not aligned to their brands, and they've taken a very, very clear stance on this. Of course, the lawyers will then say, well, they're innocent, so why have they been discarded? So the story is going to get messier and messier, and it's pretty horrible. On to more rugby of actual rugbyness. Jake White has urged Rassi Erasmus to basically pick a predominantly black side to go and play Wales. Now, of course, they're going to America to go play Wales before the three-test series against England. Now, many people are saying, well, Jake, that's really big of you, seeing as you hardly picked any black players in your tenure as BOC coach. But also, there's just a black-white, whatever aside, there's a great opportunity to produce, to kind of give fringe players a good run here. Now, we've spoken about this a few months ago. Sending a BOC team to Wales a week before this test series against England is stupid, but it's also an opportunity. Mm-hmm. We're so quick to jump in the bandwagon, call foul on things and be outraged. But every time you get a BOC match where you can blood new talent, what an absolute win. And just so happens, a lot of the fringe players happen to be black. So this is a win-win-win in all situations here. Great. So whether you like Jake White or not, whatever, he brings up a decent point. Although maybe badly communicated, because if you look at the talent that is around in SA Rugby right now, it wouldn't be the worst thing. So we can't just say, oh, well, let's just sacrifice this team to get the quota numbers up. No, there's some great talent coming through. in the right situation, obviously the senior players have to go with them, just to kind of, so they're not, you're not just feeding the lambs to the slaughter here. But I think it's a great opportunity, and Jake White is onto something to a certain degree. It's up to Rusty Rasmus Senior what his plans are now. I think it will be a very experimental team, which can only mean good things.
Okay.
As there's actually a lot of players that have been going to a BOC training camp at the moment. So a lot of Sharks players, along with six uncapped Springbok players, are going into this mix. It's a really exciting time of year because we're going to get past all the noise of Super Rugby. When you get into internationals, that's what everyone ultimately cares about. You know, people dedicate their lives to getting drunk watching the Springboks. Not so much their franchise teams. Mm-hmm. So as we get closer to this and see what Rusty's got in plan, I'm excited for BOC rugby this year. I gotta say it, I really, really am. It's kind of hard not to, well, it's not hard to work out why. And then Warren Whiteley, he's out of the Lions tour of Down Under. This guy's had some bad injuries. The last few years, he was given the BOC captaincy. This was at the career highlights of all highlights. And then, well, he's had a bad groin and a bad knee. And just this week, he had a click in his knee, and his knee swelled up overnight.
Oh, no.
So he was meant to make his big return for the Lions. Of course, he's been the captain of the Lions quite some time on the trip Down Under. And that's it. Has to go for more surgery. Jeepers.
God, that's horrible.
What do you do?
Jeez.
What do? Basically, just grin and bear it, because that's what injuries are. They just, once you get them, that you, every rugby player goes through this time and time again. And this is a kind of the resolve you need to be a pro sportsman. So imagine, like, what do? Like, you just sit and watch TV or whatever.
Yeah.
Your legs constantly in a moon boot. Oh, it must be terrible. Anyway, that is it for the sport today. More as we move closer to the weekend tomorrow.
All right, Sia, what do you got for us in Said by Sia? And I'm not going to play your dirty music today. I'm going to get back to the good stuff.
I'm so glad that only lasted one day.
Oh.
And, spoke to Sia.
No, all right, take it away.
I'm sure in some way, shape, or form you've heard about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Yes, we've spoken
Island.
About it.
Plastic Island, that's it. And so once an ocean researcher claimed that it would take 79,000 years to clean up, well, now, really, we're going to call this guy a boy genius, has set out and has said that actually he can do it in less than 10.
Yeah?
Talk about that. What were you doing when you were 18 years old? So back when he was 18, his name is Boyan Slunt. In 2012, he actually approached TEDx Talk and he presented how he set...
That's not a great name, huh?
Boyan Slunt. He is... Dutch, so I guess it's just
horrible name.
Rolls with the punches.
Horrible.
Back in 2012, when he spoke at TEDx, he laid out a plan of what and how he thought he could go about cleaning up the ocean, and people basically roll their eyes. I mean, yeah, when an 18-year-old stands up and says that, you don't really take them seriously. Well, It's now 2018, and this plastic island, which is now twice the size of Texas, or basically three times the size of France, is on the way of being broken down thanks to Boyan and the Ocean Cleanup Foundation that he started. He's working with more than 70 engineers, researchers, scientists, and computer modelers daily to get rid of ocean plastics. He has this whole strategic, elaborate plan. Look, I'm the last person to go down and try to explain that. But now people are starting to take him seriously, actually. He has now been named the youngest ever recipient of the United Nations' highest environmental award, the Champion of the Earth. And Time magazine has named the Ocean Cleanup's Ocean Vacuum Program prototype as one of the best inventions of 2015, and it's now scheduled to begin in the Northern Hemisphere's summer of 2018. So this guy, from, you know, just speaking at TEDx years ago, he's putting his words into action, and I think it's awesome, you know. So It's taken a couple of years, but he's going to clean up our oceans, folks. More than, he's calculated there's like 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic in our oceans right now, but using work with the researchers, etc., etc., he's put together a plan to clean that up. So sorry if you were looking to become a citizen of, what's it called, island plastic, the island of plastic,
right?
Yeah, give that a miss and become a citizen elsewhere, because this guy is making great wonders in cleaning up our oceans. I think it's awesome. If you have some time, really do make some time to just research what he's all about. His name is Boyan Slunt, B-O-Y-A-N, and his surname is S-L-A-T. He's doing some awesome stuff with cleaning our oceans. And
he's got to make up for the fact that he was given such a horrible name.
But with his horrible name, he's still doing amazing things.
I was going to say that there's all these other little initiatives going around. Like this, you can buy these bracelets where if you buy this bracelet, it means that 8 pounds of plastic has been taken out of the ocean. But then I saw in England what they're doing now is they're actually creating small pellets from plastic and they're using it to make roads. So the
that's also happening in the Netherlands, actually.
So general asphalt, basically, it's it breaks up. So we get potholes, that kind of stuff. But the plastic they use now to make roads is more durable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot cheaper and it makes for better roads. So, again, it comes back to government. The government's probably not going to make as much money making roads with this. That's why they're not doing it. But everyone can do it. All this plastic can go back in.
Mm.
Imagine that. You're making roads.
I've always said that there are two resources that we just don't use and recycle enough. The first one is plastic, and we could, if we could use it in roads, that would be terrific. There's a place for it to go, that it's useful, that it doesn't have to, you don't have to worry about the damage to the environment, because those roads hopefully will be there for a long time and will continue to be used.
A turtle's not going to choke on a road.
No, a road's fairly large. But the other one is the ashes of criminals that we put in the electric chair.
Yeah.
I feel like we could always put those into potholes and use those.
Oh.
Don't you think?
Yeah, into veggie gardens and things.
Yes.
But if you
Who has to do that?
But if you just think of like third world nations, let's just use Africa as an example. The amount of places that need decent roads. You're talking like towns and stuff.
We'll have the plastic. We'll buy it.
So there's all this plastic and we can make roads out of them.
Hmm.
Sure, there's other ingredients and there's other money that comes into it, but it can all be done.
Yeah, if we care enough.
If we care enough the living, make a better place for you.
Kill that microphone before we hurt ourselves. What a horrible sound. I'm going to apologize.
This is CliffCentral.com.